Always exciting, I guess. The older you get, the ones you can look back on and see that they were good, and other ones you look back and see they weren't so good. But I'm looking for a great year this year, especially for this church. You know, God has transplanted us, so to speak, and not because we wanted to, but because our building was sold out from under us. So we're here in a new place in a new year, and I hope you grab hold of that and let this be a driving force in your life this year, that we're going to see some great things happen in this church. And this morning, the other night for New Year's, I shared some things, words to just encourage people. And if you weren't here and want to listen to those, we'll do what Mike said, just go online and you can pull it up and listen to them. They're about 30 minutes worth. But we do need encouraging at times. And so just let those filter into your spirit and see what God can use those in your life that's coming, rapidly moving on. As we look into 2016 today, I want to share with you a message. It's not my message, but it just so spoke to my heart that I decided I needed to share it with the whole church. And this is just a message. I'm not going to preach a sermon today, but just listen to it with your spirit and hear what God is saying through this article. And I think you'll find some real truth in it that'll help change your life and even encourage you and build your strength for this new year. A part of the moving into 2016 is already something we had started in 2015. And that was that God is calling us to repentance and obedience. Repentance and obedience. And let me just tell you right now, God's not going to move off of either one of these. Okay? We can repent and get up close to where we need to be at God, and that's great. God's going to honor that, and God's going to bless you for it. But he's still going to be requiring repentance and obedience. So don't just think, well, I can do it one time and I'm okay. You're okay because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? But you have to tell God, you know, what you're changing in your life, because that's called repentance. So be sure and get that going here in 2016. Now, let me just, this is probably not very long, but we'll see what God does. May even add some to it as we move along. Lethargy, everybody know what lethargy is? Just downright pure old laziness, isn't it? Yeah. All right. Yeah. And lethargy is a huge problem in the church today. This church and churches all over America. And like I shared Thursday night, we need to wake up and find out this is not just business as usual. This is a work of the enemy to keep you away from God, to keep you away from the power that's in the body of Christ. And he's going to do everything to lead you some other direction besides the direction God wants you to go. So this message is important because of the dullness that lethargy brings to people's ears. You know, Jesus talked about that. You can hear the word and the enemy can come steal it, and you didn't have any benefit out of it. Or the cares of life can come and steal the word from you. So we're going to have to learn how to listen under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and hold on to what he creates in our heart from that word, because that's where our life comes from. There are a lot of people that are going to die on the vine this year because they've allowed lethargy to just completely take over, and they have no ambition, they have no desire to move forward or anything. And so this is going to be something that the church is going to have to deal with. And the way we deal with it is through prayer. Start praying for people that you notice that are not attending anymore. Begin to lift them before the Lord. And let's watch what God does in their lives and through their lives. And so I wanted to start by reading just a short passage and then of Scripture. And then we're going to come back in a minute and read the whole thing. But what I want us to see is that God wants to shake us up and remove us from all of the doldrums and the lethargy that is in our lives. And there's a story about this, and it's found in Matthew chapter 25. So let's turn over there right quick, and let's see. Read verses 1 through 4. I think I had 21 through 4, but that doesn't make sense. Anyway, let's start Matthew 25, 1 through 4. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, in this parable, it's about 10 virgins, and the fundamental difference is in the preparedness of the wise and the foolish virgins. And you find out that the wise had extra oil on hand, whereas the foolish didn't. Now, oil, of course, is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And so it's the Holy Spirit that helps keep our light lit inside of us. Amen? Now, the psalmist over in Psalm 92, verse 10, had to say this about oil. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. You know, oil can get old. And I'm not saying the Holy Spirit can get old, but we get old because we don't keep pushing in and pressing into the Spirit of God. In other words, when just regular oil get old and stale, and so we need to be continually anointed with fresh oil. So oil then in this message is going to be a dividing line between the wise and the foolish virgins. This is what sets the wise apart. And so let's look at the whole passage right quick. And by the way, this is one of the passages of scriptures that it wouldn't hurt you at all to read it and meditate on it at least once a month. Because there's so much truth in this thing that we need right now. So let's look at beginning starting in verse 1 again. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And notice that was all of them, okay? And at midnight a cry was heard, Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Now we're talking about 10 virgins here. And they're all listening. They're taking a nap, yes, but they hear the outcry that the bridegroom is coming. It says, Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And then all the virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, No, lest there should not be enough for us and for you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And so while the foolish went to buy new oil, fresh oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and he said, Assuredly I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now, it's the kind of parable and passage that we don't like to read because it's got some negative content in it. But I approach situations like this way. If it's in the Word of God, then it's something that God wants us to understand. Okay? And so don't just skip over these or refuse to read them or whatever. These are the ones that have a real message in them that the church needs to hear in this hour that we're in. Now, if we received all of the oil that we need at salvation, why would we need a parable like this? Let me repeat that because this is an important point. If we received all of the oil that we need at salvation, if we received all of the Holy Spirit that we need at salvation, then why would God even put a parable like this in the Word? He put it in there because it's important. It's important to Him and it's important to us. The point many of us can miss in this parable is that our lives have got to match up with what the baptism in the Holy Spirit has come to do to us, in us, and through us. So do we have a diminishing or a replenishing supply of the Holy Spirit in our lives today? You see, this is a dividing line. Paul had to say in Ephesians chapter 5, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. That's a strange word. You know what dissipation means? Huh? Okay. I didn't hear it, but I'll take your word for it. it means a descent into drunkenness. Okay. And so that's what he's saying here, you know. Do not be drunk with wine in which there's a tendency to descend into drunkenness. But be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, Paul writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's literally God's command. And this command is being given to believers who are already baptized in the Holy Spirit. The admonition here is to stay filled or maintain an infilling. And the original word in the Greek means being filled. Be being filled. In other words, there's a continual cycle of being filled with the Spirit of God in the life of the Christian. Now, some of you probably heard of Smith Wigglesworth. He was an evangelist and prophet, and back in the early years of this, in other words, here in America. And he was 89 years old when he passed away. Back in 1927, though, he preached a message at a place out in Los Angeles called the Temple, or the Angelus Temple. The Angelus Temple. And it was a profound prophetic message that has come down through history. And and people are still, you know, drawing from it. They're still learning from it. So let me just share. I want to share this in two parts. So this is the first part. There must be a special preparation for the return of Christ, and at least half of all believers will be totally unprepared. Let me read that again. There must be a special preparation for the return of Christ, and at least half of all believers will be totally unprepared. Now, I got the age deal wrong. This prophetic word that he gave was 89 years ago. So, Smith Wigglesworth declared this prophetic word, and what was real then is still just as real today as when he spoke that prophetic word. The standard that God established by the Lord from the beginning of the church age is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and also maintaining that infilling through continually speaking Spirit-inspired utterances. Paul said to pray in the Spirit, and that's what helps continue this outpouring of the Spirit of God in the life of the Christian. And back in the early days of the church, even the qualification of the selection of men to be deacons back then, deacons in the ministry, and even to the widows that they ministered to, these deacons were to be Spirit-filled. And that hasn't changed. God didn't later on in the scripture change it. It's still the same today. So Peter, in recounting before the Jews the vision that he had of the empowering of the Spirit upon the Gentiles, spoke these words out of Acts 11:15. As I began to speak, talking about speaking to the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit fell on them, and he fell on us, like he fell on us at the beginning. So there's a whole sermon right there in that one little piece of scripture. And I'm not going to get into it today, but that was something profound that happened. Because up until that point, they thought only the Jewish people were entitled to the Spirit of God. But here God goes and pours out the Holy Spirit on the Gentiles, which means just the people of the world that have come to know Jesus. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a vital and essential part of the early church. Now the church must be careful in not departing from the standard that God set from the beginning. That's why we have Scripture, so we don't miss out on anything that God gave back then that is relevant for us today. The supernatural today is God's standard for our church and for the Christian church around the world. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is where it starts. That's where it started 2,000 years ago, and that's where it starts today. And even after Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on the few disciples back in John 20, they were still commanded to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, which was the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Now, all ministers and all saints must humble themselves and unload from their lives the traditions of men that are making the Word of God of none effect, and then give up their worldly wisdom that is nullifying the manifold wisdom of God from being displaced, and then cast off their doubt and their unbelief that is short-circuiting the power of God in our generation. We definitely are a smart generation of people in the world and even in Christianity. My word, just in my short little life, it boggles my mind to see what has happened in the last 60 years. Amazing. But we're living in a time where we need to do away with the traditions of men, the worldly wisdom, the doubt and unbelief, and the weights and the sin that so ensnares us and keeps us from running the race that Paul talked about, that God has set before each one of us. The foolish virgins did not have enough oil to carry them through the midnight hour. The question is today, do you have enough? Do you have enough of the Holy Spirit to carry you through the times that are coming, that are ahead? The extra oil in the added vessel kept the wise virgins ready, and it carried them through this time when the groom returned, and the groom represents Jesus. So right now, I said this earlier in the worship, but right now we are living in the night season of the church. The night season of the church. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. For the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Now, I've been repeating that scripture several times through 2015, and here it's bouncing back up in 2016. Then let's look at Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5. Then the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory shall be a covering. Now, when Isaiah released this word, it was a prophetic word. And we're actually seeing this word come about here in 2015 and moving into 2016. Where it says, the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and shining of a flaming fire by night. That's God releasing his glory. And I believe, and others believe, that he's talking about the churches out in the future, which is us. And this glory shall be a covering. A covering. And God has covered churches that will respond to him and his glory. And there's some great things that come about as a result of this covering. So these verses, then, they're telling us that there is a night season, N-I-G-H-T season. The glory of God and the fire of God shall be seen on God's people. And that's you and me. God is going to release that. Whether it's this year, next year, when, I can't tell you. But it's a promise from God that it's coming. The question is not, are you saved? But the real question is, are you being continually filled with the Spirit and burning with the fire of God? Are you continually being filled with the Holy Spirit and burning with the fire of God? In Luke 12, verse 35, it says, let your waist be girded and your light burning. This, in Bible times, in order to have freedom of activity, men would take, they wore skirts back then, or robes. And they would take the ends and they would bring them up between their legs, and then they would tuck them around the waist, because this signified a readiness for action. Plus, you know, all that garment hindered them in doing anything, especially in the realm of fighting. So they learned how to gird their loins, it's called. But in the night, that instructions would not benefit them without also having their lamps burning. So when you have no oil, your lamp cannot keep burning in the times when you need it the most. And not having the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life is sort of like driving a car at night with no headlights. You're driving blind. So your lamp is the word of the Lord that burns in your spirit through and by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 20, verse 27 says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the heart. And in Luke 24, verse 32, the disciples were talking about, after Jesus was crucified, he appeared to certain disciples or groups of disciples. And this group had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, not recognizing that it was him. But later on, when he revealed himself to them, the statement that they made was this. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the way, and while he opened the scripture to our understanding?" Now, that'd be awesome to be taught the word of God by Jesus. And it wasn't just a seminar. I mean, man, he opened their minds and put the whole thing in there. What an awesome encounter they had. But the point of this parable is that even though the 10 virgins were all saved, they were not all ready for the coming of the bridegroom. Matthew 25 verse 5 said, "While the bridegroom delayed, they all rested and slept." All the virgins were drowsy and they fell asleep, and then all of them woke up when the cry was made. But only the 5 wise that had enough oil to get their lamps burning and to move out to meet the bridegroom. Wise virgins unload the weights and the sin that so easily besets them, and maintain an infilling of fresh oil in their lives that keeps them burning with the fire of God and prepared for their translation at the bridegroom's return. If death should meet us first, then the way we enter into heaven will in part determine our eternal reward and position in heaven. Again, this is why it's important that we have this infilling and a continual infilling of the Spirit of God. Paul spoke of attaining unto a certain resurrection, and he called it a prize to be gained. And even at the end of the earthly life he pressed into, he made the statement that he was knowing and gaining Christ. He even made a statement that I might know him, that I might know him. How about you, Christian? Do you know Christ? Have you taken the time to get to know him? Some of you may have been saved all of your life, but you've never taken the time to get to know him for who he is. Some of you may not be saved but just a couple, 2 or 3 years. And the same thing can happen to us. We just don't really know him. We know that we've made a decision, a choice to receive him as Lord and Savior. But do we know who he is, what he's all about, how he can help our life today, make changes in our life today. You see, that's another part of the reason that he came and laid down his life, that he could help us live our lives here on this earth. And it's all under the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Luke 24, verse 32, and they said to one another, that's right, we already read that one. Matthew 25, verse 5, while the bridegroom delayed, they all rested and slept. And so here we have all of this, you know, that's coming together for these 10 virgins. The time was right then. And there's coming a time for us that it's going to be a time of right now. Not going to be any time to go make some changes or you know, a time to repent or whatever. When it happens, it's going to happen. And so we need this outpouring and continually infilling of the Spirit of God, because he's the one that keeps us on track. He keeps us on track. Paul spoke of attaining unto a certain resurrection, the prize that I'm talking about a while ago. And that's what comes at the end of the race. You don't get it before. But at the end of the race, there's something that's attainable in heaven. And wouldn't you want to work real hard to receive that when you get to heaven? So let's look at the rest of the prophetic word from Smith Wigglesworth. I'm going to repeat the first part, and then we'll go into the second part. The first part is, there must be a special preparation for the return of Christ. And at least half of all believers will be totally unprepared. And now the second part. All the people which are pressing into and getting ready for this glorious attained place, where they shall not be found naked, where they shall be blameless, where they shall be immovable, where they shall be purified by the power of the Word of God, and have within them a consciousness of the very presence of God, changing their very nature and preparing them for a greater thing and causing them to be ready for translation. Now that's what God has for every individual in this church this year. If you have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is going to begin working on you to prepare you. I'm not saying you're going to die this year, okay? Don't get worried about that. But if Jesus were to return, you'll be ready. Okay, so I'm going to repeat the second part again, because I want you to be sure that you hear it. And hold it in your heart, in your spirit. Don't let it go, because you're going to begin to see examples of it happening in your life, and you'll know what's going on. All the people which are pressing into and getting ready for this glorious attained place, where they shall not be found naked. And that's not physical nakedness, all right? It's just not having anything on that's going to prepare you. Where they shall be blameless, where they shall be immovable, where they shall be purified by the power of the Word of God, have within them a consciousness of the very presence of God, changing their very nature and preparing them for a greater thing and causing them to be ready for translation. You know what translation means, okay? That means it's that time. So let me just declare this to you. I hope this word will stir you and cause you to take great inventory of your life at the beginning of this year, so that you will undo from your life that which is keeping you from being a wise virgin. Amen? Do you understand all of this? Yes, maybe. All right. Well, what I want to do this morning is I want to pray that the word, you know, stay in you. But then I want to pray over two groups of people. If there's someone in here who has never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we want to start with you and get you filled with the Spirit of God, okay? And some of you may have been prayed over before, and you say, but I don't feel like I got the Holy Spirit. Well, that's okay. We'll pray over you again. And we'll pray over you and pray over you and pray over you until you're satisfied that you've received. Amen. This one shot at the Spirit of God's not going to get you anywhere. You need to keep pressing in until you know that you know that you know that He has filled you on the inside. And then the second group we want to pray for this morning is, yes, I have the Spirit of God. I know He works in me. Then we're going to pray over you and infilling what Paul talked about, where you continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you be sitting there thinking about what you need. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to ask you to come up front. And I'm going to put you in two groups. And the first group, who's never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get everything that you need, and you're going to get everything the second group has too, okay? So you're not going to be left out. But the second group will receive a greater infilling of the Spirit of God. So let's just pray this morning. Father, I thank You for giving me the information, Father. What a tremendous voice this is, Father, that is being spoken by Your Holy Spirit. And Father, we lay all pride aside and everything, Father, that causes us to miss Your greatness. And Father, we just humble ourselves before You this morning. And Father, I pray that every person in this room know that they can't make it without the Spirit of God. He is the very essence of the power of God that dwells within us. And Father, we have nothing in and of ourselves in the flesh. But in the Spirit of God, Lord, we're powerful to demonstrate the kingdom of God and to see the glory released in us and through us in this world today. So, Father, just hunger or place hunger in our hearts, not just to receive what You want to pour out today, but to continue to receive it. Be being filled with the Spirit of God, Father, on a regular basis. And so we just give You all of the praise, Father God. And we declare it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.